Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this week's episode, I felt as if my two worlds collided as I spoke to Shirley Otto about charity and about governance and about the role of the trustee and how important that is to her. And that is my job. I'm a consultant in the third sector. I've been a fundraiser for 24 years. And so it really felt as if what I do Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, came colliding in with my podcast too. It was great to have an opportunity to chat to Shirley and all her expertise in this area about things that I have worried about when it comes to the third sector. So a really delightful conversation, a wee bit different, and I think one that will hopefully open a door to people that maybe haven't listened to the podcast before, because I think this is such a relevant conversation for those involved in charity, and especially for those involved in charity governance. Shirley, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Hello, I'm very pleased to be here and very excited about being asked about something I know a lot about.
Oh, great. Wonderful, wonderful. Before we get to that, though, tell us a bit about you.
I'm a woman. I'm 75. I live in Edinburgh. I'm Canadian born. Interesting. I think of myself as a war baby, so a product of a Canadian English woman, but also as a result, for a while, a forces child, moved around a lot, saw a lot of different kinds of things, and fascinated by different worlds, but finally settled in Croydon in South London. But in my work, got to come to Scotland to work, and I had a road to Damascus experience and decided that as much as I loved my friends and family in London, I wanted to be here in Scotland and go down there. Uh-huh. And see them there. So I've settled up here in 1997. Uh-huh. I brought with me a fascination with charities, with voluntary organisations, and I'd worked with them since the middle 1980s as a freelancer.
Great.
And it was like a new job, new world, to discover the Scottish scene. Uh-huh. And sort of find my way in it.
Great. And I know we've been chatting and been introduced by another guest on the podcast, and we've got lots of stuff that we seem to have in common. So I'm looking forward to hearing. Shirley, what is it that you know for sure?
What is it I know for sure? It is a slightly niche world, but I'm sure the folk listening to this podcast will be very familiar with the fact that our streets, our high streets, our world is full of people running charities, being in charities, offering charitable support. The way that things are organised, all those charities and many of those voluntary organisations as well have what's known as trustees. Now, that's the formal language. These are a group of people who've chosen to give time, energy, concern to support, whether it's the elderly, whether it's donkeys, whether it's children, whether it's fighting poverty. There's an infinite range of kinds of work, but it's a group of people who can be trusted, that's the old term, mm-hmm. to be more for the cause, for the children, to fight against poverty, climate change, than they are about personal gain.
Yeah.
Now, they're often called a board or a board of directors, but the real word is trustees. I have become fascinated with who is it? There's 24,000 small charities in Scotland registered with the regulator. All of them have 3-4 plus people who are trustees, mm-hmm. or boards of directors. They're like an unsung group,
yeah.
a kind of heroes. Heroes that are not always behaving well at best, but they are that. And without them, we would have a very much colder, harder, cooler world. And it's, as we have been discussing, one of the realities of being fascinated by this group of volunteers that have oversight over charities is there's very little investment in them. And as a result of that, it's the imagine a world in what you're doing and something important that's important to you with other people you probably don't know very well, Not being clear about what you're doing and not quite clear if it's the right thing to say or the wrong thing to say, or feeling that you are already on six other committees and you've had a lot of experience and therefore you have innate knowledge and have a right to run, dominate, control. It is the serial of drama, but not yet on screen. The dilemma is I'm very keen on the whole idea that trustees remain voluntary.
Yeah.
The people who have this stewardship, however complicated in the dynamics, can be extraordinary, are volunteers. There's been a very big push that the trustees, these people with oversight, should be professionals and they should be paid. They like their staff. The reality is that's different. Mm-hmm. There is something different. There is something extraordinary about volunteering to do something. Or perhaps I put it differently. There's something extraordinary about not being paid for something that makes us different, not, you know, for good and occasionally for ill. So the fact of not being paid to give a slice of your precious time to supporting women who've experienced marital violence, to choose to do that isn't the same as deciding to go for a certain job and going for a job interview, as much as that's about motivation. But choosing to volunteer for that women's aid, as opposed perhaps climate change, is a personal statement, a very real one. But like lots of things, if you have a group of people together who feel very strongly about something or invested in it in different ways, it isn't always the easiest thing to come together as a whole group to act as a team. So we have one of the dilemmas. So my work, amongst others, is to do those things that hopefully enable groups of these trustees or boards to be clear about expectations and to find ways in which they work together, not as a group of singular individuals, occasionally acting a bit like they were making statements or in charge or like people or the local authority, any of those things.
Yeah. I feel as if it's so interesting, Shirley, because I feel as if my worlds are currently colliding, because I do my podcast completely separate to my profession, which is, of course, in the charity sector. I'm a consultant that advises mostly on fundraising. And as you know, I'm also on a board of trustees, and I have been for 3 years. And I often work with smaller charities, with all size of charities, and have a look at other boards through the conversations that I have, and have some frustration quite recently, which is why it's so bizarre that you are chatting about this, that do people understand when they join a charity board what they're signing up for? I think there's a problem when it comes to consent in charity boards, because I don't think a lot, and certainly in some smaller charities, a lot of the trustees understand exactly why they're there, what the responsibilities are. You know, if a charity was to close down, for example, and they didn't have enough money to pay redundancy to their staff, they would have to pay that redundancy. And when you say that to boards of trustees, they say, no, I wouldn't. And I say, well, yes, you would. And they say, no, I wouldn't. And I'm like, well, I've got no skin in the game. You believe that if you want. So it is a very interesting world. I totally agree that it is unpaid. And as a freelancer, I suppose I take time out of that I could be working, but I don't. I go and spend the day with children first, and I am 100% willing to do that. I think it being that I do it as a volunteer makes me braver when I make decisions, because I'm not worried about being sacked.
Yes, you get to be motivated by not letting people down. It is, at its best, an extension of the kindness of strangers.
Yes.
The likelihood of you meeting the children in Children First or the women in the Women's Aid, well, you won't know anyway, but you know that they matter.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what it must be like for that lonely child or that woman so cruelly experiencing life to know that someone is for her, even if you can't name them. So some of this preoccupation and passion is undoubtedly for the people we don't know or the people we don't meet or know that we have, because they matter. And it's ever since charities were first established legally in Tudor times, imagine all the thousands of people who have over time said enough is enough.
yeah,
or we meet not, whether it's horse troughs, yes, or public schools, or almshouses, whatever it is, people have been saying in their heart, enough is enough, or we need more, or this has got to change. And they do their bit, yeah, by being trustee. The dilemma is, to become a trustee, it's not this. If somebody decided the time had come to learn to be a doctor or a dentist, they already know from experience, from the television, from general chat, what those professions involve.
Yeah.
As so would if you went down and helped with some of the Trestle Club, the help with the food banks. You've got a pretty good idea what a volunteer might be doing. But the one thing you won't find out very easily out with taking part in a charity or working for one is what being on a board means.
Yeah.
It's in a curious way a remarkable mystery, and not a beneficial mystery. Yeah, no fun really in that. And I am afraid I have to say I think sometimes it's gamey, in the sense that there are those who worry that if we told people quite what responsibilities there are in being a trustee, as you're saying,
yep,
if you aren't properly structured and organised in a proper fashion, there could be a backlash. So the fear is if we told you all, you wouldn't do it.
Mm.
Though the truth of the matter is, even when it's my job to tell people, they do not leave the room. Yeah,
exactly.
Because, as you say, they're brave and they're determined, and anyway, they realise if they aren't listening hard to what I'm saying, of course, that if you get things right, just like how you account for your money, there's a classic way of doing it. If you do that right, then there's a chance. It's much more complicated in terms of the fact that the board is employers, because when the notion of the trustee stewardship was set up in Tudor times, they didn't have this idea about being an employer or indeed HR, yep, or health and safety or just safeguarding. Yeah, so regulation has really hugely converted the job into something else. Because fundamentally it's meant to be, when this very simple relationship, the benefactor is the person who gives time, energy, money, yeah?
Yeah.
The relationship between them and the beneficiary, that's the person or cause that is the subject of that investment.
Yep.
And what trustees are meant to do is preserve that bond.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to make sure that the money and goods and spirit get to the people who need it most.
What is your thought on a trustee and why they would become a trustee on a certain charity?
Yes, that's only a huge question. One, it's almost been a taboo to ask the question, what motivates you?
Yeah,
you would of course be asked that if you went for a job interview by all your friends, family, and the potential employer. But it's one of the ones that we don't quite ask, if somehow it isn't polite.
Yeah, I think I was perhaps asked that in my interview, and
good,
at the point I don't know that I even knew I wanted to join a board, because it had sort of happened upon me. I'm very glad I did, and there was one of the mothers from Women First, who is the mums that we support within Children First, on the interview panel. And in the moment of sitting there and being in the company of this woman, I had a realisation that if I can help other women, if I can help other mothers keep their family together, then I serve my purpose on earth, because my purpose,
yes,
is always to be in service of women, to help women, to raise their voices, to help them feel represented.
Yes.
And therefore, that very much ticked my purpose. But also, growing up in poverty, my mum dying when I was very young, so my dad being a single parent, we were lucky and I had a beautiful childhood and I had a very good father. But that was there for the grace of God that we didn't need children,
yes,
first.
Because, yes,
I can put myself in the place of it.
Yes, yes. And I think that's often at the root, yeah, in the belly of people who come forward, because it's not at all unusual that when people retire, they want to do something useful. More recently, people have been coming forward because they want to give something back. They're conscious of having got support in their lives, but also just seeing how advantaged they are,
mm-hmm,
compared to many other people. So lots of people are coming forward for that. Many more people are beginning to realise there is a lot to learn a lot to understand, and it's a way of being, of needing to be as bright, intelligent, as committed, and as thought out and hardworking as it would have been if you were in proper work for a part-time job.
Yeah.
That they like that degree of engagement. The other side of it is, and it's a real truth, it's also a place where people who are unfinished haven't ensured the world appreciates them or their value, and therefore it's a platform, it's an audience. It's a place, and there are people who have unfinished power needs or dominance who want quite quickly to be in control, in charge, be the chair. And there's not everybody in this world is designed to be in a group.
Yeah.
To work with other people. So there's some degree of kind of making up for deficits in us, really. But yes, I'm glad they asked you. It is very interesting. But you're quite right, because, again, it's not in our culture, not in the ether, to be constantly talking this one about this one and hearing other people talk about it, except, you know, when there's something fabulous has happened with somebody raising money and things. So there isn't the falling into a frame, you know, into a familiar frame of reference, really.
Yeah.
And so I do ask, and I work with lots of women's organisations, and women do, they have this lovely way of going, like you did, I want to help other women. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. I want to help other women. Mm-hmm. And you've chosen to do that by working and supporting rape crisis. I mean, just how hard end can you get? And the answer is they want to be there, because if you, you know, that's a place where women are most vulnerable and not as yet in any way properly understood, appreciated or supported. And they just want to be there, you know, adding a bit more power and strength and bulwark against what so many women are experiencing, women and girls are experiencing, and all power to their elbow. The dilemma is always that the tougher the frontline work, the potential for what people call burnout, the wearing out, because it's not an easy world, and this is true of trustees as well, not just the frontline people working with in counselling and things. Is it's not an easy world to feel rewarded. The reward is the doing, because there will be times when you win a grant, or those times when some way of approach seems to be working, and reputation gain. But it isn't a territory in which there is that tidy relationship one dreams of in paid work between your activities and your outcomes or outputs or whatever the language is.
So you said that you moved to Edinburgh, obviously, 25 years ago, and you've been working in this sector, and you're 75. What's next? What do you hope to achieve? You know, what's next? What's down the road for you?
Oh, what a wonderful question. I'm very fortunate because I'm broadly well 75. I mean, those of you who are 75 will say, what about her ears, eyes, hair falling out? And all those things are true. They have come about. And so maintaining myself is taking rather more time than it used to. But other than that, I'm definitely hungry. I have an appetite. I want to be further used. And I wouldn't mind some money along the way, but essentially it's more about making good use of myself while I still seem to have my facilities. I'm not sure my partner always thinks that they're always intact, but on the whole, it's just like you will have done. That sense of accumulated scars, understandings, knowledge,
You know, recently I was invited on to speak on Radio Scotland, one of the phone-ins, and it was about people wanting to retire early. And my opinion on it was like, well, it depends on your social viewpoint, because if I've never known anybody in my direct family and my direct life who retired into a beautiful retirement where they went five holidays a year and wintered in Spain, then what actually is there to aspire to? And actually, I want to contribute what I can to the world for as long as I can. And so I don't have a pension and I don't have any intention of retiring. And that, to some of the other callers on that phone in, was like, you know, people that were working in the city and were retiring when they were 42. It was absolutely preposterous. And I was like, my life has to be more about me and what I do. It has to be about the society I want to live in. My contribution needs to matter, which is maybe just the same. And I need to matter. Somebody else needs to have a lot of money in the bank and go on holiday. You know, maybe we're all just self-serving. Maybe I'm just as self-serving.
But I like your self-serving has the kind of, where it suits me very well and is quite right of it as well. Many of my friends are retiring and many seem to be having a good time just doing things. I don't seem to be constructed like that. In any way, if I'm absolutely face up myself, it's about identity. I have an identity that's affirmed by getting out there and being useful in certain ways and liking the fact that when I'm working, I'm using a skill base. You know, it's affirming as an adult to think, I have done that, I do that, I can offer that. It's quite legit and it feels good doing it, even though it might have been a lot of travelling and tiring and not always work out the way I want. And sometimes what I find I'm saddened by, but in effect, I am defined by doing it that way. And having done some studying a while back, I'm also got an appetite to understand more necessarily of the nuances of what people are like, what their trust is, but kind of get the overview, to get the patterns, to look at how it all fits together with what's going on in our time and what's happening in relation to some social history. Because I've come to understand my work and my people hugely better by going to social history things and listening to what our forebearers did. And sometimes I understand better what's happening, say, with women's issues, when I read a very useful set of things about suffragettes and just some of the ways that they resolved things or thought things through, and issues about structure. And indeed, they were very organised, but they had these extraordinary women who blew up letterboxes and smashed windows of large department stores and tried to set up light to prime ministers' houses. They were all freelancers.
Aye.
Because they knew that if they were in the organisation would be at peril. So they were freelancers, but the women's organisation, the women's social and political unit, looked after them and their families and met them out of prison. So there's just that realising that we have a lot to learn from them, but also, I mean, what a proud heritage to think what they learned and what they handed on and what we got from it. So I have a slight sense of, until I fall off my perch or become unable to grasp what I'm doing or saying or eating, that it'd be useful to keep piling in, useful in that. So, but a lot of it is, I like the affirmation. It's a necessary thing. So whether it would be called career, but it's certainly not called retirement.
No. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Shirley.
That has been a great pleasure. Thank you, Anne, and thank you for the opportunity.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.